happy if you will be free, if you want the life of your dreams. This is your place.
We're living at Summit.
It's your space.
So take something from it.
It's your dream. Your dreams can come true.
Good afternoon, USA. Good evening, UK. And good early morning, Australia. Welcome, all points between. We're glad to be coming to you live with another World Internet Experts teleconference webcast. And today, as you may have heard if you were here on the line, we had a technical difficulty, but we're in and we're running and we're less than 2 minutes late. So what do you say about that? Anyway, myself as your host, Ted Siuva, like to welcome you on behalf of all of the promoters, co-promoters of the World Internet Summit, sponsors of the show. And, of course, that's myself and Brett McFall, Tom Hua, and Alan Forrest Smith, who happens to be our featured guest today on the call. Give you a quick wrap-up of what we're doing here, because I know a lot of us are at work, and, of course, a lot of us are at home digging it. And a lot of us are going to listen in on the archives at worldinternetwebcast.com. Basically, what we're doing is at least once a week we're getting together with some great experts, people who are achieving things on the Internet, getting them to spill the beans, so to speak. Getting them, of course, we want to know who they are, and there's human interest, but really what we're all interested in is getting something that we can put to work to make money on our websites immediately. And that's what we're doing. And so, hey, by the way, too, I promise you, at the bottom of the hour, I've got some special info that I'll give you regarding the World Internet Summit. We've got a new one coming up here, World Internet Summit USA in middle of September, World Internet Summit UK coming up in late October. I will give you those details at the bottom of the hour. While we're interviewing, while we're in motion, if you want to send an email, I will be reading the email, and I cannot promise everything will get to the guest, but I will try and work most things in. You can email to asknow@worldinternetsummit.com. That's simple, asknow@worldinternetsummit.com. So I'll tell you what, folks, today's guest on World Internet Experts is one monster guest. And I say that because some people know him as the top copywriter in all of England, which is no small accomplishment when you consider how many people are who can pick up a pen, and when you consider that quite possibly the person that is the greatest writer in all of history, William Shakespeare, came from that country. We know that Alan Forrest Smith is a commercial writer, though. Alan, welcome to World Internet Experts.
Thanks, Ted. Thank you.
You get a chuckle out of that William Shakespeare.
Well, I am, yeah.
I tell you, how many thousands and thousands of students have cussed?
That's right.
But they won't cuss what you got to say, I assure you, I assure you. Listen, Alan, I've already let a cat out of the bag a little bit that you're a copywriter. And
yeah.
In fact, you're a co-host of the World Internet Summit UK.
Okay.
But a lot of our listeners, especially in the U.S. market, don't know who you are. Copywriters, that's one of the things. They kind of hide behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Can you kind of give us a breakdown of what you've been doing, how you got involved in Internet marketing, and where you are today?
Sure, no problem. Well, I'll tell you what, Ted, do you want me to give you a kind of a background history as well?
Yeah, we'd love that.
Okay. Well, I'm actually from a hairdressing background, and I've had a chain of hairdressing salons at one point. And during that history, obviously someone had to do the marketing and the writing and the advertising for that business. Now, that business eventually climbed up to roughly $500,000 a year. Just that was one salon, and that was just through the continuous, consistent, ongoing marketing using letters, advertising, and so on that we did through that business. But towards the end of me selling those businesses, which I'll tell you a little bit more about in a minute, I started getting more into working online after just kind of messing about as a hobby, because I do have another website which is unrelated to copywriting, called hairie.com. That's HAIRE.com, which is it just sells ebooks and digital manuals, and I've literally sold thousands through that particular website. Now that website became a testing ground for my own marketing career, if that's the right word, online. And over the past 4 or 5 years, what I learned through that site and what I learned through my own copywriting and learning copywriting, I started to apply to other people's businesses because people were asking me, because at that time no one else was really doing anything online. So if you were one of the few that was actually selling something online, well, they were asking me, how are you doing it, Alan? And it kind of grew from there, to be honest, Ted. And I started buying books on copywriting after having a sort of an email discussion with Marlon Sanders. I started getting into copywriting, and it grew from there, really. And to be honest, Ted, it's absolutely exploded. I'm at the stage now where I really can't take on it. And on new clients till probably around February now. And it's just gone absolutely mad. But it's great, I love it. Absolutely love it, it's brilliant.
So you mean you hung out your shingle as a copywriter, coordinated with the internet, and you've got so much work and prosperity has come so fast that you are actually turning business away?
Yeah, that's right, Ted. I mean, let me just stress to you, every single thing I do, which pays for the house, pays for the kids, pays for my wife to keep spending money at the shops, comes through the internet, everything. And all the different businesses I have related to whatever I do, everything comes online. I very rarely get a phone call. I never get anything through the post. It's all filling out forms on my websites that come directly to me.
Well, that ain't too bad. So you've definitely made the change, because I'm assuming a hairdressing group of stores, that was pretty much offline business completely, right?
Well, I tell you what happened there, Ted. The salons were very, very successful, and the more the copywriting grew, I decided to sell them, so I sold one at a time. And eventually I just had one biggish salon, which was about 2,000 square feet, and it was getting to the stage where I didn't even go into the salon because I was so busy doing everything else. So this year, I'd not been into the salon probably on a regular basis for 12 months. This year, I've decided to sell out of salon and just go full-time into my copywriting, yeah.
Well, cool. And, you know, that's, of course, what a lot of people are hoping for, is to get their internet business up and running and to more than replace their offline income and get out of the aggravation and everything that's involved with so many offline businesses. You know?
Yeah. That's right.
And, of course, you had other things that you don't now have, I'm assuming, such as employee headaches and massive overhead.
That's right. Well, to be honest, Ted, I mean, when I meet my accountant, you know, she says the same thing every time, and the problem is I don't have any overheads. So she's saying to me, you know, you're going to have to spend some money, Alan, there's no overheads at all. And obviously, online, what overheads do we have? You know, they're saying to me, are you buying paper, are you buying stamps? Well, I don't buy anything, because everything's on a computer. I mean, I have three computers set up, and I have one backup computer, but that's all I have, Ted. I don't have anything else, apart from a cell phone.
Boy, it's the ideal business. What you've just described, I hear people approaching me every single day, and half of them are coming at me like I'm lying or misleading the public whenever I'm saying you can do your business online 100%.
Yeah.
So, crazy. Of course, we're in the industry because we're helping other people do that.
That's right. And there is a secret, Ted.
What is that secret?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. And this just may be something I believe myself. I don't think people actually believe in it enough to make it work. And, you know, the first website I set up, which was actually hairy.com, it took over 12 months to sell one ebook. And over that 12 months, I was sending out email every week like I'd been reading the magazines, e-zines. I'd be doing all the right stuff, putting content in and everything. And after 3 months, I was sick to death of it. You know, I could have just said, forget it. After 12 months, I could have said, forget it. I sold the one ebook. And after that one ebook went, I started selling more ebooks and more ebooks and more ebooks. And I thought, yes, I can do this. I've mastered search engines. I know I don't have to have anything overly technical online. And I started actually taking money online. And I tell you what, sir, the first book I sold was $19.95. and I was running around my house with excitement. And you're talking about somebody who was earning at the time about about $16,000, I was going to say pounds. I was earning about $16,000 at the time, but I sold one book for $19.95, and the excitement was overpowering. It was fantastic, but since then, I mean, I sell ebooks every single day now on a website that I barely maintain at the moment. But it's perseverance, Ted. You've got to persevere. You've got to learn from people who've done it. You know, there's a lot of people online who call themselves experts, and all they're doing is they're rehashing, recopying. I mean, you know as well as I do, these guys we put off the World Internet Summit, we don't put them on unless they're doing it. There's no point in putting somebody on stage who's saying to us, yeah, we can do this, we can do that, if they're not actually doing it. So we're putting on people there who can really prove the system, and they can do it. And it's easy, anyone can do it. You've just got to persevere and keep on going.
Well, and I noted with great interest that your turning point came after much effort, a number of months, which it doesn't have to do that, but the real turning point came after you believed that it was really real because you'd got an order.
That's right. That was exactly the turning point, Ted. Exactly.
Cool. I'll tell you what. Now, let me ask you the question, though, because I know I hear it a lot, and as a promoter and you're fielding calls for the World Internet Summit, you do. People ask, well, but there's so many people out there and there's so many experts. How do I know who is real and who is genuine? Now, with one proviso, I don't want to say, because it sounds self-serving,
yeah,
when I come to the World Internet Summit and the experts that are speaking there, they're the real thing. But in general, the question, there's so many people, how do I know who's really, truly an expert and who can really help me?
Well, I think I can only tell you the way I do it, Ted. I mean, first of all, I never buy anything right away. I mean, maybe that's just me now over the years. I've become a little bit cynical of experts online. For instance, we've just had Traffic Secrets released by John Rees. Now, I know John Rees is an expert, and I know his book's supposed to be fantastic, and I'm sure it is brilliant. But I haven't bought it yet, but maybe that's just the way I am these days, because I like things to settle down and see how they're going to be and see how they come out. But to find a true expert, well, you have to look at these guys that are leading the way, like Marlon Sanders. I mean, everything that Marlon does, I'll be honest, I don't buy a lot of his stuff now, but he really excites me. Everything he does, his copy online is exciting, his marketing is exciting. Everything he does, there's a rush with it, and it's a feel-good factor. You know, you've got to watch these guys. Watch Marlon Sanders and watch what he's doing, because I can guarantee guys like him are usually one step ahead of the pack. And what you've got to do is you've got to copy these guys. I mean, we're not going to do it exactly the same, but if we copy these guys and try and get it close to what they're doing, well, that's how you take off. I mean, you have to copy initially to learn. And then when you've copied, you've got it right, you then begin to develop your own style. But just look for these experts, people like Ken Everoy. I mean, Ken has done fantastic stuff online, absolutely incredible stuff. And all these other guys like Armand and all these other guys that are doing brilliant businesses online, just watch what they're doing closely and copy them and eventually develop your own style. And I'm not saying copy the product, Ted. I'm just saying copy what they do. Copy their marketing. You know, if you don't know how to do an e-zine, copy the style of letter that they do. Copy the formatting. Don't copy it word for word. It's not breaking the law. But just copy the direction these guys are going in, and you can learn from them very quickly.
Yes, hear, hear, I tell you. That's great. Hey, let me ask you now, I'd like to switch into your particular forte, copywriting.
Yeah.
And first of all, just to, one, get a simple definition out of it, then I have another follow-up question. What is copywriting?
Well, copywriting is salesmanship in words. And it's as simple as that.
Salesmanship in words.
Yeah.
Can you make it a little bit more complicated?
Okay, here comes the complex answer. Look, Ted, we can either hire 10 top-class salesmen, pay them 10 great wages annually, give them a company car, give them a cell phone, give them time out money, holiday pay and everything else for a minimum return. Or we can invest in someone who does superb direct response copywriting, who can write you a letter that will bring in 10, 20, 30 times more than any of those salesmen will ever bring into that business. And that is what good copywriting does, Ted. It can literally explode businesses. Let me give you one good example. I did some work for, funnily enough, it was for a hairdressing salon in the UK, and she phoned me up, and she took on this new salon, and she said, Alan, this is what we're doing now. And I said, okay, are you doing any marketing? She said, no. So what I did is I designed some very simple leaflets, flyers, and vouchers for her. And after about 6 months, she went to buy this shop next door to knock it into another salon, and she phoned me only last week to say she's now renting the upstairs of this building as well, and her business has grown by just under 400% just by using copywriting techniques. And Ted, that is what copywriting can do for business, and that is why I'm so passionate and excited over copywriting. You know, you think a simple letter, a series of three letters I did for a company, they sold over $1 million worth, sorry, dollars, $1 million of cars, sports cars, just one simple letter.
Well, that is,
and that is what copywriting does. It's brilliant.
You mean anybody who's ever wanted to be a copywriter who really made money then should be a writer who makes money should be a copywriter, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Well, and that's pretty stout. To say that a letter can make 10, 20, 30 times more than an eyeball-to-eyeball, belly-to-belly person in a field, and give us your insight on why that is the truth.
Well, I'll tell you what, Ted, the first time we actually spoke to each other on the phone, you didn't tell me I had to get past the lady on the telephone in your office. So when I phoned up and I wanted to speak to Ted, I couldn't get through to Ted unless I was the president of the USA. But you didn't tell me that. And really, when you get a salesman going into any office, any company, any big building, they have to get past reception. And these guys are trained. They're trained to sit there and to watch out for the guy or the woman in the suit that's coming in with a briefcase who wants to make a sale. And they're trained most of the time to get rid of those people before they step in the office and they speak to the MD or the CEO. And a letter, what a letter does is, a letter can get past reception and actually land on the CEO's desk right in front of him, and he will have to make a decision, do I open and read this letter, and if the copywriting is done well, he will do, or do I throw it in the trash? But at least the letter gets to the office, and that is why it has a much higher response rate for sales, because it gets direct to the guy that you need to speak to. But just remember, Ted, I mean, a letter can be a lead generation tool to send the guy in following up as well. So if anybody employs salespeople, don't fire them just yet.
Well, there's a whole other aspect of this, too. And that is, now, of course, I don't know exactly what it costs in the UK, but here in the USA, it costs 37 cents to send out a letter.
Yeah.
And I would imagine that I can send out dozens and dozens and dozens of letters for the same price it costs me to send out a salesman.
Yeah.
So there's a heck of a lot more coverage availability there, too, right?
Yeah, there is, Ted, yeah. Far more, yeah. And it's so cost-effective. I mean, you know the secret of doing direct mail, apart from, I mean, everybody knows if you're doing direct mail, you have to get your targeting right. But some people I work with, you know, they could be sending out 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, 10,000 mailers, but sometimes you only need to send direct mail to 10, 20, 50, 100 people, because it is all about the targeting. And if you get your target dead on, well, people will respond to that letter. Not every time, but they will do. They'll respond to the letter. So, I mean, if you've got a crossover business, just going back to that that automobile business, you know, we, in that particular letter, we sold, it was 18 Audi TT Roadsters. So that's what we sold with that letter. Now, these guys have been selling all sorts of things, BMW 7 Series, Mercedes S-Class, all sorts of different kinds of cars. But there was no point sending sports car letters to the buyers of those cars, like family cars and so on. It had to be people who were interested in sports cars. But what these guys were doing before is they were sending out letters to everyone and wondering why they were getting barely any response. But the secret really was, find the people who are interested in sports cars, fast cars, and we'll target them. So you don't have to send out thousands of letters, Ted, but obviously compared to a salesman, the coverage is massive and it is a lot cheaper.
Well, you just brought up kind of a theme there, which of course is on the internet, is spam.
Yeah.
And online, the thinking and the current state is it really doesn't cost anybody to send untargeted email. But
that's
online,
right.
It really does cost them a lot and costs a lot in profits, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So we are all working on the spam problem, but the real issue is you're talking about is finding the market that would be interested. You know,
I'll tell you what's interesting, Ted. I spoke to a few weeks ago when we were building up the speakers for the conference. I spoke to a guy who had about, I think it was about 16 or 18,000 people on his list. This was his email list.
Okay.
Now, he could not make that list make money for him. Now, he approached us initially and he said, look, I've got this massive list. I'm really successful online because I've got a big list. And I said, well, that's fine. So, you know, because sometimes we have to ask private questions, which are confidential. And the question was, well, how much money are you making online? And he said, well, to be honest, I don't really make a lot of money or any money online. I said, well, how can you stand up and teach people your system if you're not making money online? But the point I'm getting to is, this guy had a massive list. Now, I spoke to another guy today who has a list of just over 1,000. That list makes him $100,000 a year, but he's only got a list of 1,000. Now that is where email targeting is done right. What this guy's done, he's narrowed his profile down, he's narrowed everything down, he's got his list just right, he takes all the junk, all the AOLs and all this rubbish, he takes all that stuff out and he tries to get it as perfect as he can. And that list of only just over 1,000, $100,000 a year. I mean, that is fantastic.
Exactly, and therein is the advice we give to people. No, you cannot buy mailing lists.
No way, no.
Because, you know, you can buy them, but you're throwing your money away. If they don't know you, they're not interested,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera, versus growing your own and keeping it well-tended. It's just like a garden plot, you know.
That's right, yeah. And just another point on that, Ted. You know, as people speak to me and they say, well, I sent out this email, and from my list, which has taken me ages to grow to 500, 20 people unsubscribed. Well, I tell you what, when 20 people unsubscribe off my list, I'm glad. Because what it does is, it gets the list refined. It gets your list right, and if those people unsubscribe, well, they're not right for the list. It's as simple as that. It's self-maintaining. So don't worry when people unsubscribe. It's a good thing, really.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I was thinking about this yesterday just because I received an email on weight loss. Now, I like...
On weight loss?
Weight loss, yeah.
That wasn't for you?
No, I mean, I could stand to lose maybe 4 or 5 pounds. But that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, what a waste of good electrons to
That's
see.
Right.
I
yeah.
have never once expressed an interest in a weight loss program, you know?
It's ridiculous, yeah. It's crazy.
Cool. Hey, well, let's get into some of the mechanics of copywriting.
Yeah.
What, in your opinion, because we've identified it as salesmanship in print and everybody's seen a web page and you've been talking about letters, what, in your opinion, are the most important things that a new person needing or wanting to come in and write copy that they need to be aware of as, I guess it'd be right to call them leverage points or something like that?
Okay. Should we talk about online here, Ted?
Definitely. I know you do a lot of business both ways, but our audience listening to us is dominantly online.
Yeah, well, let's jump in online. You know what surprises me, Ted, a lot of copy? What people forget is, you know, we spend so much time getting our search engine stuff right. The tags, the keywords, and all that stuff. You know, they've got to be dead right. We've got to get a good listing in the search engine. But, you know, there's a story behind that. And the story is that the internet is search driven. And that means somebody types in that key phrase, use Audi TT. Well, when people land on your page, if they land on a page that's just the ultimate sports car page, and then it takes them through Porsche, Ferrari, etc., etc., well, you've not optimized the page and made the page search-driven. And really what it should say when somebody lands on that page, are you looking for an Audi TT at an unbelievable price? And that is a headline which is based on the keywords, or is a search-driven web page. So when people land on that page after they've typed in used Audi TT, they see the headline at the top straight away, they're going to say, yeah, this is the right page for me. And you know, we're not just talking about Audi TTs, we're talking about anything now. If people, whatever product we do, whether it be grass cutter machines, bicycles, anything, the pages have to be optimized for the searcher, because remember, the searcher is asking Google, Yahoo, or whoever a question, and when they land on your page, you have to answer that question within seconds. Because if you don't, Ted, if there's confusion, and they have to dig through the website to find what they want, they will be off like a shot. Or they'll use a backspace on Explorer to go back to Google and to find the next thing that answers their search. So what I'm getting to is the headline on your web page is absolutely crucial for progress of the buyer through the page.
No, you also make me think of something else. Not only is the headline important and crucial, which, you know, as a copywriter would expect that, but you also said that maybe dividing a subject up, in other words, instead of having your Audi, your BMW, and your Jaguar all on one page and leaving it to people to find it, or all on one site, you could optimize a certain page that has all your Audi material and
Definitely. Find
specific to the Audi audience.
That is exactly how it should be done, exactly.
And so that is definitely an online twist to conventional copywriting that really applies online.
That's right, yeah. I mean, any kind of copywriting is search-driven. You know, I mean, I've been shopping with my wife today for an hour to buy some kids clothing, because our children are going back to school soon. And I'm always interested in adverts and posters and boards. And, you know, you walk around the store, and we're searching for children's shoes going back to school, and you can see the big posters at the back of the shop. It says, kids back at school, children's shoes. And that is good copywriting, because it's dragging us over there to buy the shoe. And that's what they want. They want the sale. We are searching for the product. The copy gives a solution to what the buyer is asking. And your web pages are exactly the same. But definitely, you know, for the price of websites these days, Ted, and you know as well as I know, you can get them for virtually nothing these days. I would definitely recommend, if somebody's selling many different products, to break it down into sub-domains within a website, definitely.
Okay, very, very cool. What else? Because we've heard other things other than a headline, and of course you've introduced the targeting on specific pages. What other kind of things should we be aware of?
Okay, well, let me just have a think. I think what we've got to do is we've got to keep the page simple. Now I'm doing some work for a guy in Germany at the moment. And when we first started talking, he said, so have a look at my website. We've been up, I can't remember if it was 3 years, but they've only been up for a couple of years. But actually, they're doing very, very well. And I think it's because the niche is such a niche website it has. It's probably pulling in the response because of what it does, but the copy, Ted, is so technical. I had to read it 6, 8, 10 times before I could understand what he was actually selling.
Whoa.
Now, the point here is keep it simple. Keep it absolutely mind-numbingly simple, brain-dead simple even. Because people online, I mean, for one, it's quite hard to read online because of the screen. So you've got to make it so they can read it quick. So keep the copy very simple, very easy to read, and it's really what we call, you know, the kind of conversation teenagers would have is the kind of copy that you should use online. Just keep it very, very simple, very flowing, and very, very easy to read. because the second somebody reads and they have to stop and they have to think about it, it's very difficult to get them to read on then. So you've got to keep it flowing nice and easily. You know, and I'll tell you what's important as well online, Ted. These days, you know, most people these days don't read a lot. Most people don't believe a lot of things either. You know, most people don't do anything about anything they read. So you have to pull them through with a copy. It's a bit like I was talking to a young copywriter the other day, this young guy I've been teaching. He does some work for me, and I teach him some stuff. And, you know, I said to him, it's a little bit like someone is at the end of a rope, but they're 500 yards away from you, and you've got to pull them in very gradually. Because if you pull them too hard, they could fall off the rope and you've lost them. And that is what copywriting's a little bit like. You've got to pull them through right to the very, very end of the letter and get them to make some kind of response.
Wow. Well, that makes it important that we understand some of the techniques that we can use to pull a reader through.
Yeah.
Especially in, as you said, today's society, not only the fact that they're looking at it on the monitor, but the fact that everybody's got a thousand things going on. So what
That's
are
right.
some of those techniques that we can use?
Well, for one thing, Ted, we can use our headlines, which we've discussed. We can use sub-headlines. So just going back to the Audi TT example, we could say something like, you know, are you looking for the perfect used Audi TT at an amazing price? And then your sub-headline could say something like, we can locate, or we have in stock, that very special car that you were looking for. And then you start leading through the rest of the conversation then. And remember, it is a conversation. You're not talking to millions of people, hundreds of people. You're talking to that one individual who's put the search into Google. And it's important to remember that. You're always talking to one person all the time. So you've got to use things like your leading paragraphs. You know, your leading paragraphs. Don't do paragraphs that are 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 lines long. I try and keep paragraphs to about 4 lines long at the most if I can. And if you have to break it off and make a new paragraph, just keep it tidy and break it off, but keep it simple. And as you go through, you can have grabbers or you can have visuals. For example, probably the most common visual you see online is the ticks, the red ticks instead of bullet points. It just keeps it visual and keeps it refreshing. But if you're trying to make a point, you can use visuals to make points. For example, if you were telling your life story online and you were selling an e-book, you could say something like, you know, if you're talking about your success, you need to prove the success. So you can show a picture of you with a new car that you've just bought, and you can put the date with it, and put a little bit of copy under that picture and say, this is me picking up my new car through my online ventures. And it makes it real then, it makes it really, really real. And another important visual we've used a lot of online is, you know, we get people saying to us, well, I've sold so many e-books online and I'm doing fantastic. But the person who's reading the web page doesn't know you've sold so many online. And he doesn't know how fantastic you're doing. So it's great to get a screenshot, to get it optimized, to put it on the web page and say, this is the number of e-books I have sold since the 1st of October to the last day in April. And actually get the number on the screen so they can see it. Because it makes it real. Thinking, yeah, this is exciting. I can do this. I want to be part of this. So your visuals can be very, very important as well. And, of course, your graphics. You know, some people don't like to put the photograph on a web page. But just remember, you're having a one-to-one conversation. Get your photograph on the web page and make yourself as real as possible. You know, there's other things as well, Ted. I mean, you have to... There's no point in me saying to somebody, listen, I'm a great copywriter, if I can't prove it. You know, so if you can prove it on your web page, at the appropriate point, prove it to them as well, give them a sample, give them a sample headline, give them a sample anything, and just prove to them that you are a copywriter, this is what you're doing, or you are selling cars, or you're selling e-books. There's other things like your credibility. How much credibility do you have? I mean, you know, we sat here saying, Alan's a great copywriter. But it's no good me saying that. I need other people to say it to me. If people start saying, use Alan Forrest Smith at orangebeetle.com because he's a great copywriter, well, that's great. And that's the credibility. And you put the credibility on the web page in the form of a testimonial. You know, there's lots of ways you can build up a web page and make it convincing.
Okay, and you were mentioning, you know, paragraphs, visuals, and credibility, testimonials. How about something like audio? I've seen a lot of audio show up on sites in recent months.
Yeah. Well, audio can be fantastic. I mean, I think for me, I don't think I have a great voice to listen to. So, I mean, I am a public speaker. I've done lots of public speaking. And when I do public speaking, I do get a bit overexcited and I do get a bit carried away. And I think visually, when you're public speaking, you can get away with it. But I think on some websites, it's absolutely fantastic. And the audio for the testimonials, I mean, it's just brilliant. It's okay saying, yeah, this is me, I'm Alan, I do great letters, I do great copy, please hire me because I'm fantastic. But if I get Tom Smith saying, I used Alan Forrest Smith to do my copywriting. My conversion rate increased by over 400%, and I'm pleased to recommend him to anyone else. That is when audio is absolutely brilliant. You know, it's excellent for testimonials. It definitely is. Or again, just for proving who you are as well.
Very good, very good. Hey, now I'd like to ask a couple questions related to the World Internet Summit.
Finally.
The World Internet Summit UK is coming up in London at Wembley Conference Centre. And what are the dates there?
That's October the 28th to,
Must be the 31st, huh?
31st, that's correct, yeah.
3/8 through the 31st. Okay, and of course for our USA friends or people who want to visit the USA, the World Internet Summit USA is coming up September 16th through the 19th. Now, we got a lot of people coming to these things, and we got people with different levels of expertise. But a lot of the people are, at least it seems that the majority of people, are either starting up or they've already started, but they're not really making money yet.
Yeah.
Can you give us a quick scoop on what's the best way to get started and maybe how much money they'd need and how that relates to what they're going to get at the World Internet Summit?
I think the best way to get started is probably a little bit what we've covered really, Ted, which is learn from people who are doing it. Now, I know we're talking about the World Internet Summit now, but as when you first asked me to host the World Internet Summit, I'll be honest, I was a little bit sceptical because I thought, well, I've seen it all before, but we'll have a look. And I decided to look through everything, and Brett kindly sent me all the stuff from the last World Internet Summit. And believe me, when you see what goes on at this summit and the proof and the evidence that these guys are doing it for real, I must admit I was absolutely amazed. You know, and who was the, I forgot the name of the lady who did the, you built the website and you put a live and she made the money at the end of the
Margaret
3 days.
Berman.
Oh, it's just absolutely incredible. To see that live, I mean, you know, listen, Ted, you're talking to me, and I am the guy that took 12 months to sell an e-book for $19.95. But over 3 days, this lady took $11,000, was it? Is that right?
$11,431.
I was just absolutely, unbelievably amazed when I saw it. It was absolutely fantastic. You know, and you've got all the guys who are creating e-zines. You've got the guys who are doing product creation. You've got Kurt. You've got Armand. It's going to be brilliant because everyone is a proven master. You know, there's no cowboys, there's no hangers-on, there's no leeches that just want to be there and get the big ego. These are all guys who are doing it for real, day in, day out, and turn the internet into a real gold mine. And, you know, anyone can do it, Ted. You just have to copy what the people are doing, make a start, and stick at it. It's easy.
Make a start and stick after it. By the way, folks, you do want to go and look at that web page also. You can certainly follow the link of the person who referred you to this call that or webcast. That would be the number one thing to do. The other one is you can always go direct to World Internet Summit worldinternetsummit.com. That's World Internet Summit. If you do that, by the way, you'll definitely want to fill in the comments who referred you, because it is an affiliate-driven thing. So that brings up my question, though. The next question is, you've been talking about the Internet Challenge, which we make a feature of every show, and basic scenario goes, give me a willing person, loan me a laptop computer with an Internet connection, and within 3 days that person will have a product, a website, and money in the bank, plus a system to do that over and over again for life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have really built that to be convincing, and it really is. That's real money. They really get to spend it. But the question comes up every now and then, well, I saw Margaret do it, and I saw her earn over $11,000 in 3 days. How quickly can I, as an attendee, how quickly can I expect to earn money?
Well, you know, Ted, if people sit and listen to what we do at the summit, and they go home and they expect everything to jump out of the box and do it for them, well, the best thing to do is to keep the money in the bank and not attend the summit. But if they take that information home, they make a start, and they continue to just plug away, there's no reason why people will not make money within weeks. I'm talking of somebody's experience. I cannot see, after going through all this stuff, how anyone cannot either increase the business, start a new business, explode the business online with the information that we give. It's just too good to miss. I mean, I know I'm the host. I know I'm going to make some money out of it. But it is a fantastic opportunity for anyone who wants to be serious about making... We're not talking about get-rich-quick rubbish here. We're talking about real business, like a high street business. We're talking about the real thing that pays the bills and everything else. And it's easy, Ted, because the system is so good and the information is so good. People just have to take it in and just apply it gradually, and just take a step at a time, and they will make money from the system, no question.
Cool, I like it. Give us some more insight on how some elements of the system may interweave with your particular specialty, copywriting.
Just be a bit clearer on that, Ted, for me.
Yeah, you were talking about the system is there, and the system works. And you're talking about get the info and apply it and use the system to make money.
Yeah.
And so now what I'm trying to do is tailor it back into how does copywriting fit into that bigger picture of the system that you're referring to?
Yeah, okay. Well, listen, Ted, let's be realistic. Not everybody wants to pay me 5, 10, 15, 20 grand for some sales copy.
Well, and if you make me 100 grand, I'd be glad to, Alan.
No, but seriously, I can understand that because, you know, if you're a new startup business, the very last thing most startup businesses would think about is a copywriter, and that is a fact. So what you learn from myself when I do my presentation is how to create very simple copywritten web pages that are optimized for the searcher. So you'll be able to go away with enough ideas, in fact not enough ideas because I'm going to give you a step-by-step approach on each web page. You'll be able to go away with a kind of a template on how to optimize a web page as far as copywriting goes. And copywriting's not, it's not nuclear science. If you're an expert in your field, and you're talking to people who are interested in your field, you know, you might be an expert in Persian cats. So if you're an expert in Persian cats and people are looking for Persian cat websites, well, they'll listen to everything you say because you've got to talk from the heart. It's a passionate thing. If you're an expert in chocolate cakes, you've got to talk about chocolate cakes as if you're eating and smelling a chocolate cake. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the right elements to make it so that somebody will read the beginning, they'll go through the whole page, they'll read through to the end with the appropriate spaces, the offers, the grabbers, the leaders, everything else right up to the offer, making an offer that they're not going to refuse and building in a nice, strong guarantee that's going to really make the client think, yes, I'm going to buy this product. So hopefully, Ted, by the time I finish, people are going to be able to go home and create their own web page. And, you know, you could pay a copywriter 10 grand for a web copy, or you could pay a copywriter $500 just to review the copy that that you've done yourself. So that is another way to do it, but you'll still have the elements by the time I finish, because the copy is crucial online, definitely very crucial.
Excellent, excellent. Now, let me ask you this, guarantees. What I would like to do is sell something without a guarantee so that as soon as I get their money in my hands, it's mine forever, and I don't have to worry about giving them the money back.
Yeah, you know, they're a funny thing, guarantees, really. I mean, I've actually refunded a book this week, and the book was $247. And it's a 300-page manual, this, that I wrote myself a while ago. And she wrote to me, and I thought, well, I remember the girl's name because she emailed me a few times before she bought the manual. And it was ages ago. I'm sure it was about a year ago. And she wrote to me today, said, well, not today, it was a few days ago, said, Alan, I'd like to use my guarantee, but can I have a refund? I'm thinking, no, you can't have a refund because I've spent the money. But at the same time, I thought, well, okay, fair enough. But I'll tell you what the guarantees do, Ted. They do increase buyers, because the chances of anyone using a guarantee are so slim. I mean, people will only use a guarantee if your product is rubbish. So if you know you've got a great product or a great service or whatever you do, whatever you're giving away is great, I would pump up the guarantee as high as you possibly can. I really would. You know, people come to me and say, well, I don't want to go more than 30-day guarantee. And I say, well, why 30 days? Is the product so bad that after 29 days they're going to be thinking of cashing it in? You know, so you, the stronger a guarantee is, 90 days, 120 days, 365 days, lifetime guarantee. And all it does is it doesn't usually make the customer think, right, well, I'll use it and I'll cash it in. But what it does is it reinforces the fact to that customer that this guy is selling a great product, and if anything does go wrong, I can always go back.
And he has confidence in that.
That's right. It's confidence, Ted, yeah.
So really, when you get right down to it, guarantees are another copywriting technique that people use to make more sales.
Absolutely, yeah. I've just been reading a few guarantees by Brett McFall in one of his manuals, and some of his guarantees are excellent. You know, he's got guarantees that said that instead of 100% guarantee, he's got a 300% guarantee. And you say, well, 300% guarantee? How on earth can you give a 300% guarantee? Because he's willing to refund 100%, he's willing to give something back, and he's also willing to pay for someone else to do the job that he did badly. But you know, the point is, Ted, people very, very rarely use a guarantee. It is very rare that somebody will use a guarantee. And if you're getting people using guarantees every week, well, you seriously need to review your product.
Well, basically, in Brett's case, what he's saying there is, hey, I'm really just guaranteeing, I mean, this is what a reader would read.
Yeah.
I'm guaranteeing you that this won't be a schlocky job, because if it is, the burden's going to be on me, and it's going to cost me way more than you ever paid.
That's right, yeah. You see, one of Brett's guarantees in one of his letters for a landscape gardener, it said something like, not only do we guarantee our work, but if you hate what I've done, I will even pay for another gardener to come round and put it right. What a fantastic guarantee that is. Mm. Absolutely fantastic.
Boy, I tell you. Hey, how do we come up with bullets? And I guess you might ought to explain what a bullet is, but how do we come up with bullets, since we keep hearing bullets are so important?
Yeah, I think bullets are important, but I think one of the problems with bullets is they are becoming... I'll tell you what happens with copy online, Ted, is people become a little bit immune to a sales format online very quickly. Because if you get a guy that's using... So say somebody says, right, I'm going to use a red headline. Well, if everybody uses a red headline, suddenly the buyer becomes a little bit immune after a couple of months very quickly to the red headline. So as soon as they see the red headline, it's click away. Now, bullets, it's a very similar principle, really. Don't overuse bullets. You know, it's like everything, just use them in moderation. But when you use bullets, they can be very, very effective. But there's a secret with a bullet. And the secret is most people use bullets to highlight features of a product. Now, we use bullets to pack out the benefits and reinforce the benefits. You know, John Carl does a great bullet, and he calls it double punch. And what John does is, he does his first bullet, which is a headline, a mini headline. So remember the big headline at the top of the page to pull them in. You do something in miniature in a bullet. Say you're doing six bullets, so you do six miniature headlines. But what John does is he reinforces a headline with another mini headline after the headline on the bullet to reinforce the bullet. And that way you get a double punch from a bullet. It makes bullets very strong, very effective, but just on the simpler side of things, keep bullets benefit packed, not feature packed. You can use feature bullets, and feature bullets are important, but you know, keep them benefit packed as well. This is a feature, but this is what the feature does. Fantastic. So you know, you can mix and match.
Can you give us a real example of the difference between feature and benefit?
Feature and benefit. Put me right on the spot now, but I'll try. What you could say is, I'll tell you what, let's go back to the Audi TT while we've been talking about that. You could say in your bullet, let me try. Ask me another question, Ted, and we'll come back to that.
Hey, I'll tell you what, how about if I give you a springboard? At 60 miles an hour, the loudest noise you hear inside this clock is the ticking of the, inside this car is the ticking of the clock.
That's right, Rolls Royce, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the feature is what?
Well, the feature for that machine could be, it's got a 2-liter engine. But the benefit of the machine could be something like, possibly one of the fastest, coolest road cars in 2004. So, when people buy cars, they buy benefits. People want to look cool, they want to feel good. They want to drive through the country with their hood down, with the wind blowing through the hair. They don't want to know that it's got a double flick switch convertible. They want to know that as soon as the hood's down, you can feel the air blowing through your hair as you're driving through the country lanes. And that's the difference between a feature, which is a double flick trip switch for the convertible, and the benefit, which is drive through the country with the hood down and feel the fresh, warm country air blowing through your hair. That's the difference, feature and a benefit.
And I think another one, because I had a lady call me yesterday asking about computers, and she's asking me how many RAMs and megabytes and gigas and quads and quasars and zarks, and all I'm saying, look, if you go buy something that costs $2,000 or more, it'll do everything you want it to do.
yeah. That's right. I think, Ted, sometimes I was just doing a little bit of work for a hosting company recently, and I'm going to sound really contradictory now, but I feel when people look for something like a hosting website, they do actually only want the features mainly. So, you know, if I'm looking for a web hosting, I just want to know that I can get so many autoresponders, I can get so many email, I got so much space, I can do this, that, and the other. And that is when features are important. But on the other side, the benefit could be that this is a techie-free website, so you just have a simple, quick button to do your maintenance. I mean, I don't want to go in and do master HTML and PHP and Java and all this stuff. I want a click and go website, but I would still read the features first. But the benefit would be that this is a click and go website. You click the button, your Java's installed, and you're away. So that again, that's the difference.
Cool-o. Well, listen, Alan, we're going to be wrapping up here in just a little bit.
Great.
Is there anything that you would like to say to our listeners on the webcast and with us today?
Yeah, I'll say a couple of things. On your copy, listen, don't start thinking, well, I can never do this copywriting thing. It's just too tough. It can be done for your own niche, your own business. But just keep it very honest, maintain your integrity through the copy, keep it very conversational, and just remember, one key when you're writing to your customers, talk to one individual face-to-face through the words. Don't talk to a big audience, you know, think I'm sending out to 10,000 people, forget the 10,000 people, you write to one individual. Now, the second thing on the internet conference, believe me, I've been writing stuff for conferences for years, for different sorts of web conferences, web pages, web books, so on and so on and so on. I think this conference is too cheap. And I'll tell you why I think it's too cheap. Because I think if anybody goes away and applies what they learn, the returns can be absolutely massive. You know, it's an investment. Don't see the price of this conference as a stumbling block. Believe me, if I was in the same position I was in a few years ago, you know, I would do anything to go because I've seen the information and I know it's first class, it's grade A high premium information, and we have got some of the best at this conference. It's going to be absolutely brilliant, Ted, brilliant. And maybe the final thing is, you know, if you want to know more about what I'm doing, what I'm up to.
Definitely.
Well, Ted, you know, you can find me at orangebeetle.com. Orangebeetle.com, that is actually named after my really cool 1976 1303S Orange Beetle. But orangebeetle.com, or you can find me at alanforrestsmith.com. And as well, if you want to check out that niche website I'm doing, it's a bit of a mess at the moment because it's had no maintenance for a while, but hairy.com, which is hairee.com, and I've sold literally thousands and thousands of e-books and manuals from that site with barely any maintenance now. But there's about 1,000 pages of content on there, but just worth looking at, just to get an idea of what can be done very quickly and very simply. And that's the site that took 12 months to sell one ebook.
Oh, great. And by the way, folks, I'll translate what he said. That's at hairy.com. That's H-A-I-R-E-E.com.
Is my accent not bad, Ted?
Well, if you're on the American side of the Atlantic, we don't say H.
Oh.
We don't use double E's either, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
H-A-I-R-E-E.com. I just want to make sure if they want to get hold of you.
Yeah, no problem.
Get hold of you.
Yeah, that's cool.
All right. Alan Forrest Smith, also promoter of the World Internet Summit UK, thanks for being with us today. We really appreciate it.
Ted, it's been my privilege, and I've absolutely enjoyed it. And if anyone's listening, thanks very much for taking the time to do that. Especially the Australian visitor who I spoke to earlier on, who got up at 5 a.m. It'll be now be 6 a.m., and I hope it was worth you getting up for.
Very good indeed, it was. And, folks, that does bring up another thing. Yes, we appreciate you tuning in to another World Internet Experts series. If you tuned in on the webcast, as by far most of us do, worldinternetwebcast.com. And remember, we do keep these in the archives, so you can always go back and listen in again. Or if you had to miss one because it was 5 a.m., you can tune in later. So, folks, also visit our website. We'd love to have you at one of the events. Follow the link of the person who sent you. That's worldinternetsummit.com. Tune in. We got another conference happening the same day today for me. It will be later. I think it's about 1 a.m. if you're on the UK, but it'll be 8 p.m. Eastern time in the U.S., and that's about 10 a.m. in Australia, Sydney time. We have Paul Colligan, master of Microsoft Front Page. I mean, this guy is so good that Microsoft comes to him and asks him to help them write their manuals. And if you doubt me, go to Barnes & Noble, go to Books A Million, wherever you want, and look for the new edition of the Microsoft Front Page User's Manual, and you'll see Paul Colligan's name on it. So, folks, thanks for being with us today, World Internet Experts. We hope you can catch us again at the next one, and it's all for you. And as our guest today, Alan Forrest Smith, said, I don't see why anybody couldn't get on the internet, follow the system, and make all the money they want to make.
Yeah.
Good
absolutely.
The whole world is waiting for you.
World Internet Summit.
It's waiting for you.